Welcome to Forward, a podcast by EasyCare, where we protect what moves you with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host, Eric Howdige. The views and opinions expressed by guests in this podcast may not be those of the host or EasyCare and APCO Holdings Brands.
Welcome to Forward. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Director with EasyCare. Today, I'm being joined by my partner in crime. I'm going to call him by his nickname that I never really say, E. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Corey. Today we have an amazing guest. Very excited to have him on today. We have a lot of great information that's going to be given out. So without further ado, let's introduce our guest. His name is Eric Mihan. Eric, please tell us about you. Tell who you work for. Tell us what your company does. Let us know who is Eric.
Yeah, you got it. Hey, guys, and thanks for having me back. Except my name's Eric Mihan. I'm the managing director for Repair 360, and Repair 360 helps dealerships execute better on their reconditioning. We do that through helping them manage their process and help them implement software as part of it so they can get more vehicles through the process and make more money off of every unit that they recon.
That sounds super important. So we're going to title this podcast, Turning Used Cars Back into a Profit Center.
Awesome.
So, Eric, let's just jump right into the podcast. And I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to hang out with, you know, just two guys that like to talk about cars. Eric, recent reports show that the gross profit per unit dropped over 12% year over year. From your vantage point, working with dealerships across the country like you do, what's really driving this decline?
Yeah, you know, we see it as actually a few things. So everybody can probably remember that used car prices were inflated post-COVID. All right. And then after that, we had the chip shortage, which then was driving up new car prices. So I think we're still seeing some of that play out through the market and through the industry that is causing these used cars to actually be more expensive during the acquisition of the vehicle, which is then kind of eroding some of the potential profit that they can make because customers are willing to only spend so much for a vehicle. So we see that. But then the other part of it that we still see, too, is, you know, there's part shortages. More parts have gotten more expensive. And then also the expense around reconditioning itself. So the cost of vendors and internal labor and all that has actually risen, outpaced the actual ability for them to generate as much profit as what they were per unit.
Oh, okay. Well, that certainly makes sense, right? When you talk about what we went through in the past with COVID and then that chip shortage and the tariffs, I mean, that's all obviously. What are some things that the dealership can do to overcome that decline?
Yeah, so it's a good question. So, you know, the things that we coach our dealerships on is a lot of dealerships are starting to become more focused on trade-ins versus just acquiring vehicles at auction. And one of the important steps of that is to become very efficient during the appraisal process. So leveraging, instead of just walking around the vehicle, giving your customer a quote, best guess, leveraging tools like Blue Driver and Repair 360 and helping make sure that you get a proper estimate done on that vehicle when you go through acquisition, as well as if you end up acquiring that vehicle, you do get a head start on the actual of ordering parts, managing labor, so you can start reducing your reconditioning time and your reconditioning spend and becoming more accurate with the amount of money you're going to spend on that vehicle. It is a huge step in helping them shrink the gap on the amount of money that they're losing per vehicle so they can make more money per unit. And there's other things too. So there's some stuff that we see is poor reconditioning management. So vehicles just sit around and wait for parts and wait for approvals and wait for vendors. And, you know, this is just money that's bleeding out of the dealership that is an easy fix with a good process for them to implement.
Hmm. That's great.
What you're speaking about right now is when people are appraising vehicles, a lot of times as a customer or people who are not in the position of the person's shoes who's evaluating the vehicle, most people think that there's an evaluation that's happening at that very moment. But there's an evaluation that has to happen not only from that moment, but from the time that it actually makes it to the front lot or to the front of the store for it to be put on the website for that price. So that evaluation is huge. I love the way you laid that out.
Yeah.
From the point that you walk into a dealership and evaluate their used vehicle operation, what are the most common profit leaks you see that most leaders don't even realize are happening?
Yeah, I mean, I think people are becoming more aware of it. So I'm just gonna hit on it again because we just talked about it. But there is, if you're buying a lot of vehicles on trade, there is a huge amount of money that's lost during the appraisal process. So for every missed diag code that you weren't aware of because they cleared the codes before they brought it in, or you just weren't aware of it, or any damage that was improperly assessed, that is just money that is just lost as soon as you acquire that vehicle and you put it into the reconditioning process. And then from there, the other bleed outs are really around vehicle handoff to the different sections. So you hit on the fact that, tools out there will help them understand what they can sell that vehicle for. That's their upper limit. Everything else that they're going to make is controlled on the back end of that process, right? How much you're spending on reconditioning, how much you're acquiring the vehicle for. So you really have to, tighten that up. You have to increase communication through the reconditioning process. And then you have to understand like what type of parts or the amount of money you're going to spend on parts, and everything builds into that to kind of give you that that final price. So the more of it you can control through reconditioning, the more money you're going to make, and then that's less that's breaking down throughout that process.
Huh. It's incredible when you really think about it. And yep. I've been out of the retail side of the business since 2016. Gosh, it's been 10 years almost. That's crazy.
You can officially say a decade now.
Yeah, yeah. I know. That's crazy. When I was a service manager, there was a huge emphasis on getting that vehicle on the front line as fast as possible. They had incentives around it, to the point where I had to hire just a used car service advisor / manager to manage it, and gave him 3 texts to make sure everything got handled the way it got handled, right? One of the biggest issues dealers talk about is that vehicle getting stuck in reconditioning.
Yeah.
Where does that process typically break down, and why does it happen so often? No matter how much money is put aside to get it done in 3 days and you'll get this.
Yeah. I mean, not everything is a money problem that you can throw money at to try to fix. I actually like the idea of having somebody that is that does own reconditioning and manages it, and it's their responsibility to solve it. That's a lot of dealers still today don't do that. A lot of times it's the sales process or something like that that is owning this, and that's where we do actually see a lot of the breakdown, because sales teams incentivized to get cars and sell them versus the reconditioning team needs to be incentivized to recondition the vehicle properly, do it for the best cost that they can do it, but also put a good product out there for the sales team to actually present to the customer. But that breakdown happens in a lot of spots, but usually it's just from having a poor process. That people don't understand that if dealerships really looked at their used car reconditioning as their supply chain and applied some standard principles around how you manage those processes and those workflows and manage them over time, meaning like if your dealer's selling 50 cars and then you get to 100 and then you get to 150 per month, that process has to evolve as part of your dealership strategy in order to keep that throughput continuing to meet the demand of the sales team. So those are just common things that that we typically see when we're working with dealers of different sizes.
Eric, when the vehicle sits in the lot,
yep,
5 to 10 days, which never happens at any facility, right? That never happens. Never gets stuck.
Yep.
What does it actually cost the dealership in lost profit and opportunity?
Yeah. So, the first is really the hard costs around like floor planning, right? So the longer they hold on a vehicle, they're going to start paying that floor plan cost on that particular vehicle. I mean, look, everybody always talks about, it's $40 a day, it's $50 a day, it's $100 a day. The hard part is a lot of times that's not directly seen by the actual reconditioning team themselves, but we all know that it exists, and they're losing potential on that vehicle because of that. But look, there's also market risk too. So, the everyday increases the chance that something moves against that vehicle. Like right now, if you're holding onto a vehicle for an extra 5 or 10 days, and as Corey and I were chatting before this, before we started the podcast, gas went from, $3 to $6, like it did here in California, those gas guzzlers that you're holding onto may not be selling. Right. So the quicker you could have moved through that, the potential was there to get ahead of what that market was. And of course, there's always opportunity cost, right? So the longer you're holding on to it, that's less vehicles that are on the front lot that somebody could have showed up and said, that was the vehicle that I wanted, and would have purchased a vehicle from you. Instead, they moved on and they were, buying it from a different dealership.
Now, when you're at dealerships, everyone assumes someone else is ordering parts, someone is scheduling photos or booking that detail. How do you create a clear accountability in the recon process so nothing falls through the cracks?
Yeah, so this gets back to what Corey just talked about. And it's having one person actually be responsible and own this, right? So they should own the entire reconditioning process. I know some dealers are going to be a little small in order to implement this, but I think even if you don't have that one person who's dedicated to it, there can still be somebody that is, they're the owner of the recon process. From there, they should then assign out the sub roles. So somebody's in charge of approvals, somebody's in charge of parts. So there may be a team of parts people, but if we fail to order parts, it's that one person's responsibility. And you need that type of ownership and accountability to make sure that your process doesn't fall apart, as well as empowering those folks to help make that process better, especially over time. As you implement it, you're going to find ways to improve that process.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think having a written process, but the other part of it is one of the biggest pains that I had when I was a service manager is I would have, whether it was the used car sales manager or someone in sales saying, hey, where's my car?
Yeah.
Right. What can we leverage as a dealership now that is almost like, the Domino's pizza app, like where's my pizza?
Yeah. I mean, there are tools like Repair 360 that definitely will help you know where your vehicles are in the reconditioning process. I mean, look, you could even, depending on the size of your business, you can do that portion even on a spreadsheet and somebody can go and update that type of stuff. So helping people understand where the vehicles are in the process or when they may become available to be able to show a customer, I actually think that's the easy part. The hard part is putting the process in place behind the scenes to make sure that whatever you're looking at is accurate, right? So you may have that pizza tracker and it may tell you the car's out of the oven, but it turns out it never was because somebody was just clicking buttons and moving stuff around. So it's actually building a good process, holding people accountable to it, and then layering in technology on top of that that's going to give you that benefit to help your sales team know where the vehicle is, if it's a customer car, letting the customer know when the vehicle's ready, and then letting everybody else in every stage know that they have vehicles coming down the pipeline that they're going to be responsible for here, in a couple hours or a day.
Okay. I love that. So yeah, Eric and I both love technology. I should say E loves technology.
Yeah, I love technology too. So both Erics.
I love to leverage it and make it work for me. There are some people that are scared of technology and it's more of a broader spectrum now where there's just so much out there.
There is.
You really got to try and really make it work for you, whatever that technology is. But you're absolutely right. You've got to have the people and the process in place and the discipline to really look over that and say, okay, I think we've got it handled, right? Yep. And if something falls through the cracks, what is wrong with our process and how can we get back on track?
Yeah, that's right. And look, I think a lot of GMs and owners of dealerships understand that recon is really important, but to their level, they can just go put pressure down on the recon teams to produce better. But in reality, ownership needs to be from the top down in order to enable these teams to know that they have what they need to produce better. Part of that may be software to help them manage the process. Part of it may be people. And part of it may just be accountability to know that, people are keeping track of what it is that they're doing and need them to produce at a higher level in order to drive the results that the dealership needs in order to increase profitability per unit.
And when you talk about what a dealership needs, you often hear that phrase, that speed to market, right?
Yep.
What should a best-in-class recon timeline look like from trade-in to retail ready?
Yep. So that's a good question. So, for sure, if you can get your units retail ready under 5 days, you're best in class. I know we hear a lot of 3 days or less, but the most that we see is usually if it's 5 days or less, you're best in class. Your first day is checking in the vehicle, doing inspections, getting estimates, getting approvals. From there, it's really getting the work underway. And then the last few days is, making sure the car looks pretty, getting photos online, and then getting the vehicle to the front lot. Now, the one misconception that we do give a lot of our dealers to help them think through this is time to line or cycle time is your ultimate KPI. But in reality, if you look at that, you're always looking at it in the past. That's by nature what a KPI is. So what they should be focused on is the leading indicators that actually drive those results. And those are a little bit separate, right? So that is usually it's idle time, parts waiting, waiting for approvals. A big one is incorrect parts, right? If you manage to those exceptions and you drive those times down, you will get your location to under 5 days in cycle time by managing towards those. So it's not just looking at your total cycle time, but actually looking at the finer details of what's making up that particular number.
I love this information. I love it.
I've already got a page of notes. I got to turn pages here.
Yeah.
So obviously we've talked about used cars. It's been down over the last few years, but we know it's vital to the success of any dealership. Buying the right one and having some kind of a process where it's not just, you're not just waiting for a trade-in, but going through your service customers as well. Used car profitability sits right at that intersection with fixed ops and the sales department. How can these two departments really collaborate better to move faster and protect that margin in your mind?
Yeah, that's a good question. So, you know, what we often see is they're at odds with each other, but in reality, they shouldn't be at odds with each other. They should be collaborating together to drive this process together because they're both needed in order to be successful for this dealership. So a lot of it should actually be shared goals, right? It shouldn't just be like the sales team blaming the fixed ops team for not producing at a high enough level and the cars aren't available. And then the fixed ops teams blame the sales team because they're acquiring poor vehicles or however their process goes. But they need to come together on what it is they're trying to achieve, what their results should look like, and know that they both need to contribute to that, to the ability to actually win. And then from there, a lot of it is creating a culture around communication and winning, right? So knowing that they are part of the same team, they're going to collaborate with each other on, you know, where vehicles are, what challenges they're having. If the fix ops team's having challenges producing, they're helping the sales team become aware. Some of that could even happen through technology, as well as whatever the sales team needs and forecasts need to be pushed down to the fix ops team so they can then better prepare in order to deliver the results to their customer, which is the sales team.
I have never heard of a sales team and a service department having a blame game internally. I've never, you know what? I don't even know.
We're telling jokes. This is the joke hour. Okay.
Yep.
Eric, saying that out loud, where do you think leadership tends to underestimate the recon process, overlook operational impact, and what overall impact does it have on profitability?
Yeah, so this is big. A part of it I said earlier around, you know, a lot of times the leaders at the dealership or the owners just know that recon's important enough that, you know, if it's not happening the way they want, it's not happening fast enough, they just go and they bark at the recon team. But that's really not sufficient in this because the profitability of that unit is really made in reconditioning. So you already know what you acquired that vehicle for, and you know what your potential to sell that vehicle for. So the amount of money you make is in recon. So they need to treat it as such and realize that it is worthy of time and attention and sometimes spending a little extra money in order to help solve that problem, to address some of the issues we talked about earlier around vendors and idle time and parts and approvals, investing time with people that know how to structure a proper reconditioning process to help their teams guide through that process and get that time and attention that they deserve in order to help actually make as much money as possible on a per unit basis. And unfortunately, we see it all too often that reconditioning is really seen as an afterthought of the sales process, but it shouldn't be. They are the supply chain that is delivering the units to the front lot so they can be sold.
Love it. That is so good. That's gold, Jerry, right? I love that. I'm a big person when it comes to communication. And there's so many different tools out there to communicate better with internal employees. I was at a dealership about a month ago that I saw a sticky note for reconditioning. And I was like, no way.
Yeah.
This is a real communication problem.
Yeah.
How do great dealerships in your mind build a culture where communication doesn't break down?
Yeah. You know, still half of the dealers that we interact with, I would say have no formal communication process, no software to help with any of this process as well. So we still see sticky notes. We still see whiteboards. The unfortunate thing is whiteboards don't communicate. We see communication across text messaging, WhatsApp, emails. And, you know, even if you have a digital trail, a lot of times the process is informal and information gets lost throughout that. And it's not just internal. Too. A lot of times it's even dealing with your sublet vendors. Like, you know, we interact with a sublet vendor that lost out about $50,000 worth of supplement work because it was going through emails, but actually got lost as part of this process. And they didn't have a record to show that that the work was approved for them to actually work on it. So I think dealers just have to understand that communication is a problem that is worth solving, and you should structure it in one way or another. So if you're using a tool like Repair360, it will manage all your communication for you internally, and it ties it back to the repair order itself. So nothing is ever lost throughout the process. That's obviously the holy grail. But even then, if you're dealing outside of tools like that, and you just need to formalize, okay, all supplements go to this one inbox. It's always tagged and stored, so we don't ever have to worry about losing it. All approvals for work on a vehicle for internal all comes to the same place. So regardless if Bob is the person doing approval one day and Steve's the next, they all have one central area that they can go. They can manage that, and then there's history, and then the ball's not dropped on that. And then having some SLAs around that communication is really important too, right? So if we take days to respond to somebody, then that's days lost through the reconditioning process.
And you mentioned losing it and communication. Those are two major areas, and losing it could be losing it, you're upset, or just losing it that you have no communication, right?
100%.
So speaking in that, in communication and losing it,
yep.
What KPIs should dealers track daily? Should they track it weekly if they truly want to run vehicles like a profit center?
Yeah, it's a good one. I would say don't get too complicated at first, especially if you're not tracking anything. Start with the basics. You know, what is your time to line, which is just your average recon days to the front line. So you need to measure it in two ways. So there's the time that you acquired the vehicle to the time it hit the front lot, but you also then just need to measure how long the recon team actually had it. So that way you can see how they're performing. That's one step that's really important. Again, as I stated earlier, that kind of gives you the afterthought of what's going on. So the other thing that's important is to measure how long it's taking each step of the process. So a step would be like, how long was it in mech? How long was it waiting for parts? How long did your sublet vendor have it for, right? Because then if you have, look, I'm going to go on a whim here and say that, you know, most dealers who think they have 5-day cycle time probably is 10, 15, or even 20. But you don't know where to fix that problem if you're not measuring how long it's sitting in each step of the process. And then some more advanced stuff would really be like idle time in between the steps, because that tends to be what's actually causing a lot of this, is where the vehicle's just sitting around, somebody gets done with it, and it takes a day or two or 3 days before the next group picks it up. That could be a capacity problem. It could just be a misstep in the handoff, but a lot of times they can shave days off their process by managing that a lot better. They should definitely measure the amount that they estimated the vehicle through recon versus what they actually spent to see how good of a job that they're doing with that. Because, you know, it's one thing to shave time off the vehicle in order to increase your profitability per unit. It's a whole nother thing to make sure you do a good job estimating it and delivering on the final results so you can control that cost, because that's a big input of how much money you're going to make as part of this process. And then there's a few other small things that you should definitely be hyper aware of, which is just, you know, how long it's taken to do approvals, but more importantly, incorrect parts tends to be something that we see all the time. So, and that causes massive delays through the process. So, you know, and that could just be that the wrong part was ordered for the car. It could be the wrong part was identified. It could be the part provider sent you the wrong part, right? That happens a ton. So it's one that we push on. And then the other last one I'll leave people with is rework. Because if you're getting a lot of rework, and this could be sublet vendor rework, it could be internal rework, but that is piling on time onto your process and cost, right? So a lot of times you're going to have to pay that person to redo that work, depending on how your model is, if you're paying by the hour. So you're just piling on cost on the unit at that point.
Oh man, that's a lot of stuff. That's page two. All right, we're on to page three. I want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to talk to the dealers that are listening. If a dealer listening today wanted to improve their used car profitability in the next 90 days, let's say, what are three operational changes you would recommend them to do now?
Yeah. So the first one that we recommend, because this is actually the step that we do with our customers, is you need to actually observe your recon process that you're doing today and document it. Because the quickest way to failure is to make changes to a process that you don't know how it works today. So that's probably the most important part, is if it's not documented, is to go through that process, document it down, regardless if it's good, bad, or ugly. And that way you have a starting point to work from. The next step that we recommend, because we see a lot of value in it, we see a lot of customers who do this and it drives a lot of value, is actually implementing a daily recon huddle. You know, this actually comes from the development world, which is where my background was before automotive, where we do daily standups. They're usually like 15 minutes long, maybe a little bit longer depending on the size of your dealer, but you'll get everybody together and it's a chance to celebrate your wins. But more importantly, it's a chance for people to indicate if they need help, if something's wrong, right? So it's really short, but it gives a chance for the leadership to move obstacles out of the way in order to help make those folks more successful. And then the next step too is really defining what KPIs you care most about and then start measuring them, because you literally can't fix something that you're not measuring. So you need to start measuring that process. So once you start measuring those KPIs, you know your current process, then you can start understanding where you need to make tweaks in order to actually improve your workflow process and drive that additional value.
Oh, those are gold. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I want to convert this KPI conversation into data transparency and its importance. How important is data transparency in recon? And how can dealers use data to drive faster decision making? You have in dealerships times where you have to wait for the service department to figure out what brand tire is supposed to go onto it, right? And then once it gets to the sales manager who's doing the approvals, now we have to figure out, well, I want to see two or three different brands. And now you're using up a day or two of that recon just trying to figure out what brand. So using data to drive faster decision making, how important is that?
Yeah, well, it's critical, right? So you can't fix what you can't see, and you're not going to fix what you're not measuring. And that's where data comes into this process. And so it's important to have transparent data throughout the entire process in order to make adjustments anywhere. It could be transparency around how long things are taking in each step, so you know that you have a chance to correct that. It could be that, for some reason, any car that needs tires are taking days because you're not actually getting the data necessary in order to capture what, make model of the tire it is, what the tread depth is, to make that decision so you can be proactive on ordering tires. It's some stuff that we see with some of our dealers is, if they capture upfront that tires need to be replaced, they will order those tires right away because it takes a few days to get it. That way it shows up at the same time that the vehicle's on the lift. So it kind of goes through that entire process. But the other thing, when I think through data transparency too, it's a lot around honesty as well. So, people can fudge data in order to make things look better than what they are. But in reality, like part of the reconditioning culture you need to implement is around honesty, to know like, hey, sometimes we're going to drop the ball, we're going to make mistakes, things are going to happen, but we're going to work together as a team to correct that. And that's how we're going to get better as a team. And we can only do that through measuring the data itself and then applying some best principles to help improve that.
I love that. So I'm a big future guy. I like to look. Yep. I like to forecast and all that stuff. I like, it's fun. Looking ahead in 2026 and beyond, how do you see used car market evolving, and what will separate the dealerships that win from the ones that struggle?
Yeah, that's a good one. I was going to say, gas prices aren't going to come down and EVs are going to take off. But I don't know if that's actually going to be true or not. But I do think, look, the signs are telling us that, because of tariffs and just the state of the economy, new cars are probably going to be a little bit slower throughout this year, maybe into next year. So the used car market is going to be the driving force behind where people are purchasing vehicles. So everything that we talked about today is going to be insanely important for dealerships to be able to make money in this market. And, you know, a good part of it is, you know, they're going to have to get better at acquiring vehicles on trade-in and not just at auction. They're going to have to get better at understanding actually what how much it's going to cost to recon that vehicle and start recon at the appraisal step, not after you appraise it, because that will shave time off of that. And it's going to be the dealers who really focus on this that are going to win throughout 2026 against dealers who kind of just been doing the same old, and they're going to get shocked if, one, they don't have enough used cars to meet demand, or two, their cost to acquire these vehicles and recon them just doesn't leave them anything left over at the end of the day.
Love the answer. Love the information that's there. I want to be able to offer information to the dealership leaders. If there is one mindset shift dealership leaders need to make to truly turn used cars back into a profit center, what would it be?
Yeah, stop thinking about recon as an afterthought and start thinking of it as your supply chain, right? So, if you were making widgets and you had a factory, you would put a ton of effort in order to make sure that that is as efficient and as successful as possible so you can deliver those widgets for your sales team to sell. We should be thinking about the same thing as you with that through reconditioning as well. That is our supply chain. We acquire the raw materials through trade-in or at auction. We send it to our recon teams to put it together in order to have a presentable product back to our customer that's going to give us the most value and represent our brand the most that we want. And it should be treated that way. And that means literally making sure that we have the right people in place to have ownership that can transform that workflow into that your supply chain, as well as layering in technology on top of that to help it make it more measurable, make it more transparent, make it faster, and really help you scale your business as the economy kind of shifts into this, selling more used cars.
Eric, we're right up against the time right now.
Yep.
To the people listening, what are three takeaways from this episode?
Yeah. So if I had three big ones, I would say get better at doing your appraisals and start reconditioning when you're doing the appraisal process itself. So when you do the appraisal, know what you're going to spend, know what parts you need to order, know what labor you need to manage. That's huge. That's going to buy a lot of time. The second one is don't just hyper-focus on time to line, but actually measure the leading indicators that are driving that. If you know what that's causing, if you know what's causing your time to line to take 10, 15 days, then you can apply pressure to those in order to drive that time down. And then lastly, which is what I just talked about, is put value in your used car reconditioning process. Give it the time, love, and attention that it deserves, and it will pay dividends back to your dealership.
Great takeaways, Eric. So this isn't your first rodeo being on our podcast, but nope. This last question I'm going to ask you, what does Eric do for fun outside of the car business?
Yeah,
it's a Saturday afternoon. What is Eric doing?
Well, so Eric lives in Southern wine country, so there's a good chance you're going to find Eric at a winery, especially here because it's beautiful most of the year. So I love doing that with friends and family. And if I'm not doing that, then you may find me at the beach.
Okay.
Yep.
And how can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, it's the easiest way is just look us up at repair360.com. You can obviously, if you want to connect with me personally, you can find me on LinkedIn, but we'd love to hear from you guys and see how we can help you better execute on your reconditioning.
Love it, Eric. EasyCare is a total performance provider working alongside your team to help achieve your goals in F&I and across the dealership. We are an award-winning provider and administrator of F&I products and can provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on EasyCare or to be a guest on Forward, please feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Eric, that is all the time that we have for today. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll ask this last question like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Anytime.
Thank you, Eric.
Yep. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to Forward, a podcast brought to you by EasyCare with your host, Corey Smith, and co-host Eric Howdige. Be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes are released on the 5th and 20th of every month.